T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Well, number one, of course, is Serta mentioned there. The Chiefs expected to franchise tag Chris Jones today, the first day that that's even possible. Got moved around a few days as the CBA negotiations are still ongoing. They had till March 12th to do it, so now the opportunity to officially work on a long-term deal just continues. Not a whole lot of change in that realm. The new league year, March the 18th. You have the draft, you have July 15th, another deadline. Potentially, if it gets to that point, I think if you're not trading them before the draft and you're able to get to July, that means you feel you have a pretty good chance of signing them long-term. I'm of belief that I would be very surprised if he plays under the franchise tag in Kansas City. It's not impossible. Certainly, it's happened before.
Yeah, about a third of the time, right?
Yep, and it's happened most recently with Eric Berry. The number for the franchise tag projected about $16.2 million. Again, that's a projection. It could be a little bit more than that when it's all said and done. But this news today, overall, not surprising for Chiefs fans, or shouldn't be.
No. We'll hear from Therese Paylor at 12:30 coming up on that. Number two for what's trending, MU basketball. They already lost over the weekend.
So they crushed.
So they crushed. I said they had a chance. One. They won again last night, didn't they?
They did.
Vandy. Taken on the road, a not very good Vanderbilt team. Like I said, they're not going to win out, but a team that is back near 500 right now. And unlike people on the other side of the state, at Kansas State, that has finished just falling on their face towards the end, Missouri seemingly has a little bit of bright spots here at the end as they continue to play decent basketball. I watched part of that game last night. Watched most of that game, actually, last night. But when you were looking at what they're doing again, driven by Pinson, they found some way to be competitive in most basketball games. And while it isn't always pretty, they are a competitive basketball team again and might have a better chance at, you know, the tournament next season. You have to think if there's a chance they can continue to play this well.
Yeah, next year's team, I mean, you at least have something where you feel good about maybe if they continue to play this way through the remaining three or four games that they have. Maybe they win a game or two in the SEC tournament. And you feel good about next year if you're the Mizzou basketball program. On the flip side, as you said with Kansas State, it's, all right, this was a rebuild year, but you only got 9 wins. You might not get to double-digit wins. You're going to finish last of the Big 12. Next year, you got a bunch of new people coming in. You're going to rely on freshmen to change the entire program. There's a huge risk involved with that over with Bruce Weber at Kansas State.
Missouri still won 3-4.
Yeah.
4-6, 5-7. Like, it's gone a lot better, and they've got Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Alabama left, all teams they're capable of beating.
Number three on what's trending, what an offseason this is going to be when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. And we know Phillip Rivers will not be with the Chargers in 2020, so where does he end up? Colts are reportedly interested in Phillip Rivers' services. Hey, if I am Phillip Rivers, this is the spot I would want to be. If I'm Phillip Rivers, this is the spot I want to be. He says he knows maybe 2 more years he wants to play. I love the head coach. It's a winnable division. I like the talent overall. I trust the general manager there. If I'm Phillip Rivers, it's great for you. If I'm the Colts, though, I don't want Phillip Rivers. I think it's one of those where for Phillip Rivers, if they're interested in you, maybe you're even willing to take a little bit less money to go to Indianapolis versus going to Tampa Bay, for example, or any of some of these other destinations that are out there. I just don't know why you want it if you're the Colts.
Is that better? Is that an upgrade for that roster? Being interested in Tom Brady even would make a lot more sense to me. Like, bringing in Phillip Rivers, if you're the Colts, is not the answer at all in my mind, because it doesn't seem to solve the problem you have there going forward. And I know that I mentioned Tom Brady as being a possibility. Jeff Darlington seems to really, really, he was on Get Up Again this morning. He was just hammering home the point. He definitively thinks Tom Brady is not going to be back with the Patriots.
I feel like we need to have a talk here. Because no matter how many times we say that Tom Brady is likely to not play for the Patriots next year, I either get blasted or told that I am wrong. That makes sense because we cannot wrap our heads around it. There are people very close to Tom Brady who are being told by Tom Brady, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Like, that's the way that we're operating here within those circles. And yet even those people don't necessarily believe that Tom, at the end of the day, won't go into Bill Belichick's office and Belichick won't sit there and say to him, Tom, we need you back. We have to have you back. And that Tom Brady will return to the Patriots. We need to wrap our minds around the fact that it is far more likely than not that Tom Brady will not be back with the Patriots. I am now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady returns to the Patriots.
Stunned goal.
Yeah, see, I'm still not there. I'm one of the people he's calling out like, hey, we need to wrap our mind around it. No, I'm sorry. I can't wrap my mind around Tom Brady not being in New England. Can't do it. I think this stuff leaking out, it's not just Jeff Darlington. There's a couple reports today saying that Tom Brady is not going to be with the Patriots.
Schefter too, man.
I understand that. I think this is being pushed out there by Tom Brady's agent and his team to put more pressure on New England Patriots. Like, hey, I am serious about this. I will. You think I'm joking? I'll call your bluff. I will leave this city. I will leave this franchise that drafted me that I won 6 rings with. Because somebody else is going to give me 2 years of guaranteed money, whatever that dollar amount is. You guys are acting like you're not willing to do it. Let's find out if you're really willing to do it. I think this is a little bit of a ploy. It's a smart move by Brady. I still think he's back in New England. I do.
I'm kind of starting to come around on the idea that he might be gone. He's going to New England the entire time. I'm starting to come around on the idea that he might be gone. Because enough people tell you something, you're right. Could that just be Tom Brady's camp constantly pushing the conversation that I will really leave? Trust me, I'll turn this car around.
At some point, someone's got to call the other bluff.
I think I'd feel a lot differently if I felt like Brady and Belichick were just like best buddies all the way down. The sense that I still get that Reed and Mahomes currently have a relationship like, or if the Patriots roster was great. It's not great. Their roster is just as good, if not better, than their roster, and I think this is a real chance he might go.
That is what's trending, but I do want to keep talking about this Brady stuff because I'm not convinced, though, that for both of them, for next season, you're telling me that Brady going elsewhere gives him a better chance to win a ring?
Yes, I think there are several spots.
Out of the potential spots, or that for Belichick as well, for the Patriots, are they better?
No.
Position to win a Super Bowl next year without Brady? I think the answer is no on both ends. And I'm assuming the spot where you think for Brady would be Indianapolis or the Titans. I'm assuming those are the two teams you think
yes.
He has a better chance to win a Super
or
Bowl
an
at?
Equally good chance. Let me put
okay.
it that way.
Okay, because I don't think it's a better chance to win one in Tennessee. I understand what they did this
Tennessee
year. It was a great
has,
run.
Tennessee has the best
talented.
Wide receiver between the two teams.
Yes.
The better running back by a long shot. The better offensive line. Well, an equal offensive line. They've got one that protects just as well. The Patriots' offensive line is very good.
And if they get Brady, that means if they were to get Brady in Tennessee, that means they would obviously be franchising, you would think, Derrick Henry at that point in time.
Yeah, they're not getting Brady to let Derrick Henry walk. That's not their solution.
So,
because,
I mean, the roster is good there. I just still think, whether it's the AFC, that division's far more competitive, though. I'll tell you that. The AFC East, if you want to win, what's the quickest route, the easiest route to get to a Super Bowl? You win your division, you maybe get a bye week. The East is the division for that, or the division for that. The AFC South is still, I don't care if they have Tom Brady in that roster. The Titans and the Texans are still going to be battling out. The Colts, wherever they do at their quarterback spot, that division is still wide open. I don't care if Tom Brady's on the Titans as well. He would be the favorite. That the Titans team would be the favorite to win it, I'm sure, in Vegas. I'm very positive in saying that. But it shouldn't be overwhelming. It wouldn't be a runaway Titans winning the AFC South. I have to see what the Colts do at their quarterback spot. But the Texans are going to still be in the mix every single year because they have Deshaun Watson.
They are. I mean, Jaguars.
And they're
trash,
changing up their play call. Actually, Bill O'Brien's finally not going to be calling the plays and stuff. I mean, that's actually a nice step forward for the Texans organization. Saw that come out yesterday.
Can't hurt. can't hurt their situation. I think I need to maybe start coming to grips with the idea. Like, Darlington is pretty dialed in. Schefter is tweeting it out too. You are right. The only people who would be leaking that information at this point is Tom Brady's camp. But honestly, if he was doing this to try to get back with the Patriots, doesn't this do him a disservice in making sure that the roster is talented enough around him? They have not hit free agency. So you can say it now. But if this conversation squeaks 2 seconds into the free agency conversation around the NFL, you are doing yourself a disservice because you are laying shadow of a doubt. People will still come play for New England because you're Tom Brady, he's Bill Belichick, and every single year you guys are Super Bowl contenders and have been for a very long time. But if you start leaking that out around free agency, then like, well, maybe it's not the Patriots I need to end up now because they don't have Tom Brady, and I don't know if it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater or a drafted quarterback. Doesn't sound like it's going to be Cam
Newton. I don't think
Newton.
This extends. I don't think this is something that's going to drag out for months. Like, I don't think this drags out into April. I think league year is March 18th, correct? That's the new league year. I don't think it's going to drag out a ton past then.
Well,
especially to answer your question about what are the Patriots going to do besides giving him the guaranteed money to entice him. Besides that, there is still the trademark. And now Stephon Diggs thing, I don't think is happening. That was floated out there before Rick Spielman's comments as well about the Patriots trade for Stephon Diggs. But are the Patriots willing to show him as well via a trade if somebody's on the market, a wide receiver's on the market or free agency very quickly? I think that's what happens. You say they're doing a disservice if it extends further in. I don't think we're going to be
in a free agency. Yes,
I don't think Tom Brady's going to decide he's staying with the Patriots before day one of free agency. I don't.
So if you think it goes to March 18th,
I think he actually.
So how about this? You think he'll actually become a free agent?
Yeah, I think it'll get to March 19th or March 18th, whatever the day is. Yes.
But do you think within that, so you don't think that changes your mind? If it goes to March 19th and he's a free agent, you still think he's back?
He's even
Patriots.
Said he's going to, you know, he's not going to go take visits to places, but he said he's come on over to Giselle and I's house. We're going to meet with you guys. Like he's going to be open about this. He said it. He's going to listen to other teams.
I think
whether
some
it's
teams,
gamesmanship or not.
I think some teams shouldn't get involved with it. Like, I don't think it helps some teams.
Now, over on the
as Smitty, much as other people think, but
over on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line 69306 from the 913. Tom Brady isn't good anymore. Wherever he goes, will hurt that team. Not hurting the team, okay? You may think he's fallen off, and he has. Not hurting any team. Not hurting them. That's crazy to me.
I mean, hurt some teams. He hurt the Chiefs.
No, Tom Brady. They're talking about will hurt the team that signs him. Is what that text is talking about.
Yeah, I think if the Chiefs signed Tom Brady, the team would be worse.
As a backup, no.
No, in general. Well, I mean, if he were the starter.
As I said, if Tom Brady says he's going to win a Super Bowl again, come to Kansas City.
He's just going to come be the backup.
Be the backup. Take a pay cut. Be a backup. Feel good about that. Then you can rest. I feel very confident.
I don't know. He might create dissension.
You think?
He's obviously, the teams who are interested in a quarterback, he helps. That's where the text line and I would disagree. The Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306. Ryan Tannehill had a really good back half of the season. Tom Brady still had a better year. Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. He's not Ryan. And Tannehill was good. Maybe was undervalued in Miami because they didn't know how to use him because they're a terrible franchise who's bad at running things. So maybe that's just the case for him, right? If he goes to the Raiders, is he as good as Carr? Yeah, he's better than Carr. And he offers better leadership. So you're good. If he goes to the Giants, is he better than Daniel Jones? Yeah, I don't think they should do it. That's the thing that's always confusing to me about the free agent market is that I actually still think his free agent market is still somewhat limited because there are some teams that legitimately shouldn't go that route. They might talk themselves into going that route, but they shouldn't go that route. They should just draft a quarterback and actually solve their problem. Tom Brady said he wants to play 2 more years or 3 more years. Then that's what you have to guarantee him if you actually want him to come to your city. If you're going to do that and draft a quarterback this year, then it means you're going to sit on a few years. And if you're thinking you're going to draft a quarterback after Tom Brady, like if you're picking near the top, you have to take him now because if you have Tom Brady, you're not likely to be picking in an advantageous position for taking quarterbacks.
How much more desperate, though, are teams, if you believe the report that Newton, Matt Rhule, and the Carolina Panthers, they're going to roll with Cam Newton. If you believe that, that's really what they're going to do. They're going to keep him for one more season. That's one less guy that's potentially out there. Because I said for the Chargers, I would love to have Cam Newton if I'm the Chargers or if I'm the Indianapolis Colts. Like that's one less guy is out there. Even though it's a crowded free agency for the quarterback spot, veteran quarterbacks with experience, and these guys, whether it's Rivers and even Winston, these guys will land somewhere. Like for Tom Brady, like now that Cam Newton, like if you're going in the pecking order of guys that might be available, with Cam Newton now in the picture, like Tom Brady is still one of the better options that's going to be out there. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's because free agent quarterback options are never good.
No, but if Cam Newton was, now Cam Newton would be on the trade market, not on the free agency market. But if Cam Newton was still available in the trade market, and he maybe still is, if you don't believe what the Panthers are selling us, then Cam Newton, to me, I would have preferred over Tom Brady this year. Absolutely, I would have.
Mostly because it still has a chance to be a long-term option.
Yes.
Which is different than
which
the
is
rest
now
of the
he
case.
Might be out of the issue there, or out of contention there. Tom Brady, 2 years, $30 million per season, guaranteed money. If you're the Colts, are you willing to do that? And I think the answer absolutely would be yes, because of your coach, what you have in that division, what you have on that roster. I think absolutely you would be willing to roll the dice for 2 years, guaranteeing $60 million to Tom Brady for the Colts versus Jacoby Brissett. You still go and draft a quarterback, absolutely, in a year, if not this year as well.
Tom Brady's trying to get my attention, trying to guess where he's going to go. It's working. Because I am at least curious where he's going to go. The other stuff that I'm curious about right now is happening around the CBA and the NFL at the moment. Something that we haven't seen, and now part of this is because we were probably a little bit younger, not covering the sport as actively as we were then, but also social media, as you had mentioned, wasn't the same. Players are speaking out against the CBA in a big way. Now, we've seen Aaron Rodgers release a very long statement. We've seen Sherman talk about it as well. And even guys like Mike Pouncey go through profanity-laced tirades on Instagram about how he doesn't like the deal.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. That NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that they ain't looking out for the best of the players. If y'all want my vote, the Pouncey twins vote no. And if any player, any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team, stand the fuck up. Stand up. Show these guys we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull deal just so these motherfuckers and the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't done.
That was Marquise Pouncey about yesterday afternoon, right around there, about the discussion that's been going on with the NFLPA. Clearly not happy. I do think, Cody, it is that these players are more knowledgeable now than ever about where things are at with negotiations. And they were, even, it wasn't that long ago, but 2010, 2009, when the negotiations were going on. And I remember when they were going on to some extent, but I don't feel like even Twitter was being utilized the way it is, at least during these negotiations, whether it's players speaking out the way we just heard with social media on Instagram, or just the knowledge of kind of the other side.
Was it on their MySpace page?
It was not. MySpace was done by 2010, right?
Probably.
I think so. Did you have a MySpace?
Yeah, obviously.
I don't think I ever had the MySpace.
I also had a Zanga.
Yeah. I don't think I had either of those. That was like a few years. I was a little bit past that, I think.
So you had an AIM Messenger account.
Absolutely.
There it is.
Yeah.
We can find the sweet spot.
Yeah. So
what was your AIM name?
Like Cool Sport 8 or something? It was like some random thing. Like, yeah, it was terrible.
Why was it Cool Sport?
I have no idea.
Cool Sport 8.
Yeah.
Sunglasses emoji.
Like, pretty much. I think that's what it was. Yeah, I believe that's
why 8?
I think
were
the
other sevens taken?
I think they were. I think the other numbers were taken. Someone else had Cool Sport 1.
Were you Cool Sport 3, Serta? Were you further down the list?
Yes.
See, that was the problem. It was already used up. But no, in all seriousness, I think, you know, these guys have access to more information when it comes. Even before, they weren't maybe always being told in complete honesty, sure, about from their own side. Like, no, this is a good deal. This is this. And now they have the full grasp of the situation. So they're more willing to speak out about it. But notice who's speaking out about it, Cody. It's Pouncey, who's made $66 million in his career. It's Richard Sherman. It's Aaron Rodgers. The guys that deep down, this doesn't affect nearly as much. It really doesn't. Like, there is an impact, no doubt, but the guy, the 90% of the league, this impacts more.
I appreciate that Pouncey is offering up, you know, rent money for guys if they're willing to hold out to do this. But again, the problem is, and this is a tweet from Tom Pelissero, here's the issue. The NFL player, the NFL union is made up of 60% of players who make league minimum. 60% make league minimum in the NFL. They would immediately get a 20% raise and eclipse $1 million for all players by 2029. So by the end of this term sheet, the minimum salary in the NFL would be $1 million per player, and that is for 60% of the league. That is incredible growth. Two-thirds of the league is massively affected by this. And I just think that as much as the veterans want to try to tell people to have that conversation, you're asking a guy who makes $600,000 a year, which is a lot of money. It's so much money. But you're asking a guy who makes $600,000 a year to stop taking money for a year so that the guy who has just finished a year making $10 to $35 million for 1 year of service, more money than that player making $600,000 will see in their entire career by the factor of a billion. Right? You're asking them to sit it out. That's why eventually this thing will get approved. By the time it gets to full player vote, there's just too many peoples that it positively impacts on the lower end for the higher name players to have the kind of influence that seemingly they're trying to have on social media. And I don't blame them. I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers and Pouncey and those guys are willing to express their actual feelings on the issues with it, because a lot of their issues surround the 17th game. And that is a real problem to have with this deal.
It has been.
I love
since
football.
I
watch 17 games, but yeah, obviously,
selfishly
for the
as fans, I think selfishly as fans, people enjoy it. Yeah, more football. That's why I'm fine with the extended wild card, even if it means a Monday night football game on wild card weekend. Despite the disadvantage that can give, we're hearing from those big names. We're not hearing from the guys, as you said, the 60% or so that it affects, or the other 90% overall that it impacts on this. And going forward, this is going to happen. And I also wonder, going forward though, if you're an owner, like if you're an NFL owner, and you're seeing Pouncey's video, but then you're also seeing plenty of people making the case how much this is benefiting the other portion of the league, majority of the league, you got to be almost laughing a little bit and enjoying this, because this is why it's so hard for the players union to ever get things done, because you've got the big names like J.J. Watt, even, who sent that tweet out right away. Remember a week or so ago where he was basically saying this is a terrible deal and he's not going to vote for it and all this, but you have the non-star players who this is really going to help out. And so if you're an owner, that's your selling point. Like, we're helping out the majority of the league, and there this kind of back and forth and almost tension within the own players union only helps the NFL owners. It only helps them and makes them stronger.
One guy who's not going to have to worry about a raise, that is Patrick Mahomes. He's going to get a big deal, as we know, eventually from the Chiefs. We don't know what that number is going to come in at just yet, because we're still waiting for the official numbers on that. But there is a narrative floating around right now, and I'm curious how much you both buy into it, or as much as I do as well, how much we buy into the Mahomes is chasing rings, not top dollar. Now, listen to Brett Veach. He makes it very clear here Patrick Mahomes is going to get a whole bunch of money. But he continues to say in this, too, that both Lee Steinberg and Patrick Mahomes know that there's ways to work a contract that allow you to get more players around it.
I don't know if there's a timetable. We have time, and he's going to be a Chiefs quarterback for a long, long time. Certainly, with the CBA, looks like it's going to get worked out, and there'll be some dialogue there that we'll have to work through. And then just really trying to, and I think the cool thing about Pat and his agent is they realize that, he's going to make a lot of money, but they also realize that, no one operates in the sense of taking the extreme team discount, but Pat is also very cognizant of wanting to be in a place like Kansas City and win a lot of Super Bowls.
Right.
And there are some things to help the team, to make sure that there's always talent around him. So it'll take time.
Yeah.
It'll get done.
Right.
But he's one of those kids. He's a special kid, and his agent, they want to make sure he's surrounded with a bunch of talent too, because he's chasing rings, and that's a good thing and a good situation for us to be in too.
Yeah, we argue about this a lot. I'm always like, ultimately, if he makes $42 million a year, if he takes 38, it's not going to make
a difference.
Still
$4 million a year.
I know, it is a lot. I get it. I'm not trying to disrespect it.
Right, but he thrives on winning.
Yes.
And there's also an element of just real, and obviously the more money a team has, the more talent they can surround, and it'll be one of those things that it'll get done. It'll take time, like they all do, but at a certain time and point, it'll make sense for us, it'll make sense for them, and everybody will be happy.
What would even be considered a discount for him at this point? Like, if he took $39 million, would you think
yes.
he was leaving money on the table?
Yes. Absolutely. I think the minimum is 40.
39, sir. Do you think that's leaving money on the table?
Yes.
40. Leaving money on the table per average annual?
I'll say no, only because that was the number that was, I feel like, has been thrown out the most, going back even to essentially the middle of the NFL season.
So anything under 40, you think he's giving a slight discount?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But $1 million a year, that's not much of a discount.
No, but it's still...
I think at 40, he might still be offering somewhat of a discount. Because I think his value might be upwards. If he was really trying to push a Kirk Cousins the hell out of this thing, I think you might be like 42, 43, 44. I mean, I think you might be several million dollars above 40 if he was absolutely trying to push that number.
You know where I stand on this. Like, I am completely against those that have this idea that he owes them anything in terms of hometown discounts or anything. I don't know him damn thing. He should get as much money as he thinks he can get. But as you heard from Brett Veach, maybe there's that balance though where it's like, yeah, you're going to still get as quote unquote as much money as you can, but without going, you know, because he could ask for an absolute ridiculous number and they're going to essentially have to give it to him, right? If you really wanted to play that game.
If he said, I want 50, they'd have to pay him 50.
So there's that balance in between.
Yeah, but do we actually think he's doing them a favor?
What's that?
At 40 or 39, he's probably doing them a bit of a favor.
And that's what I'm saying. Especially under 40.
Under 40 for sure. At 40, I think maybe he's given a little bit of a discount. But so much of that depends on how he'll allow them to structure it. Because structure matters more than any of this. I already told you, Tom Brady has made as much in his career as Phillip Rivers. We don't talk about him taking some discount the entire time. He's one of the top eight quarterbacks the entire run. It's just a matter of...
how willing are you to restructure in the future as well to make sure you can take care of somebody?
It's pretty much how often are you constantly willing to work your deal differently so that there's always money for other players. The initial number is probably not as important as how much he's willing to move this thing around going forward.
And there's no reason to believe that both Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, everybody involved with the organization, and especially Patrick Mahomes, that he's not looking at wanting to get ring after ring after ring. And
he
understands. And I'm not saying that means
pie in the sky, that's man, not why that this kid that's is not really about that. We think that, but we don't know that yet. We can't know that until
doesn't
the
mean
job
he's
take,
doesn't mean he's taking a discount. Oh, but
he's not taking $30 million. No, he's not an idiot.
He's not taking
it.
Yeah, never said $30 million, obviously.
No, I know.
But you know, the idea that he wants to go down as the greatest. Like I do believe that. I think he's smart enough to realize though, at some point, it doesn't mean right away on this first contract, though, that's something you would be willing to do. We'll talk more about that with Terrez Paylor, and also the news of the day that the Chiefs are expected to franchise tag Chris Jones. Terrez Paylor of Yahoo Sports stops by next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, news of the day, the Chiefs planning to franchise tag Chris Jones. One of those to report that is going to happen, Terrez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, and he joins us right now out on the 610 hotline from Indianapolis, site of the NFL Scouting Combine. So, Terrez, your reaction to that news that you reported today?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a pretty standard procedure, whether you're trying to extend them, which I think they would like to do ideally, or if you're going to trade them, which is obviously a possibility as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to cost versus benefit. You know, they can find a way to hammer out something that makes sense. It will cost a lot of money. I think they'd like to do that, but you know, teams are definitely going to be interested in Chris Jones. There could be a team that pays that offers up something ridiculous, and you know, I think every team has to listen to that. So you know, we'll see if they do decide to re-sign him. You know, if they can re-sign him, they'll have to make some moves to accommodate that, some trades or whatever. Might require you to make a tough decision on Sammy Watkins, who they'd also like to potentially do something with. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to have to weigh all their options and kind of see what makes the most sense for the football team. But we're at the point now where those options are being presented to them as they talk to both the agents for those players and other teams.
Terrez, when you're looking at just what the most recent numbers say for Chris Jones, I think we've seen a couple of numbers floated out there. Do you get any sense of where, you know where his camp was last year? You get any sense of where they are this year in relation to maybe Grady Jarrett's deal or, you know, the upper end of that of Aaron Donald's? Do you know where he's trying to land still?
He's not taking Grady Jarrett's deal. So it's going to be something more than that, for sure. I think it'd be something – I think he's looking at Frank Clark's deal, to be honest. So, and why wouldn't he? He's a defensive lineman, an interior guy, with a ridiculous amount of sacks combined the last 2 years. So, I think there are teams out there that will be willing to pay him Frank Clark's deal. I think the Chiefs will still like to do something with him. But again, you know, this will come down to what you can do versus all the other options, and all those options are still kind of being presented to them at the moment. So I think, you know, everything's on the table, obviously, but I really do think they understand that he's a special player, and one of the things that makes their defense special is him plus Badger plus Frank Clark. Like, that triumvirate of defensive leaders made a Super Bowl defense, and, you know, his presence makes Frank Clark better, too. So that's one of the things where you try to, like, figure that out, and then everything else could kind of fit in around that, right? So we'll see what ends up happening. You know, all this stuff is still being figured out as we go, but not surprised. You know, not surprised if this has come down the pike, and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out.
How much, if at all, does this pending CBA and still waiting for this to become official with the players' union and everything, and I guess the final vote on that, how much does that play a role at all in this?
Well, I think there's definitely going to be like an influx of money that comes in when the CBA gets finalized, because like they're going to be able to go back on those contracts, and like the money is going to be jumping significantly in future seasons on the cap, as long as the players are, if the players agree with this current deal and the league takes their current TV deals and negotiates some new ones, like, it wouldn't be a surprise to see the cap rise significantly over the next 10 years, which is obviously going to help them kind of accommodate space for all their kind of big name guys, right? So I think it'd actually be a good thing if they could nail down the CBA thing now, because then the owners can take that to the networks and kind of get this process going of, you know, securing additional funding that'll help the salary cap grow significantly.
Last thing for me, Therese, and then we'll let you get out of here. When you're looking at the trade market for Chris Jones, you said there'd be a lot of interested teams. How many do you think, and should they still be commanding? You said Frank Clark's contract. Is that the kind of return they should be expecting?
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly how many teams, but I wouldn't do it for less than what they got, what they'd have to give up for Frank Clark. And you could make an argument that because he's an interior rusher, and I think he's a little younger than Clark was.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make an argument it should be more. So, and guess what, guys? The edge market in this year's free agency ain't great. Shaq Barrett will probably get the tag. It's just not a whole lot, and we know Jones can play out there, but everyone needs pass rushers. There's simply not enough of them. He's a premium guy, a Super Bowl champion guy, and he's not even in his prime yet. He's going to get paid.
One last quick one for you there, Therese. Just when it comes to the CBA, we've seen multiple players in other organizations be outspoken, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Richard Sherman, for example. Do you think we would see a Chiefs player ever be here currently on the roster speak out about the CBA like we have maybe some others?
I'll never say never. I don't know why, you know, we just haven't really seen that. But, you know, part of the reason that some of those guys are saying that is because they're veterans. They've been around a long time. They've already made a lot of money. But they also have cachet, right? You know, like, Mahomes could say something. You got the cachet to say that. You get what I'm saying? Like, some of it is just being a superstar with enough cachet to be able to handle whatever blowback comes, right? And guys, there aren't a whole lot of guys that cross into that stratosphere. So, yeah, I mean, we could see that one day, right? But it's just about having that kind of guy who has that on his mind, who also happens to be a superstar.
Well, Therese, we'll let you get back to things there. And Indy, thanks so much for joining us a couple minutes here, giving us your thoughts on Chris Jones and the franchise tag.
Yeah, no problem. See you guys.
That's Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. And the thing that stood out for me right away was Chris Jones not taking Grady Jarrett money.
You've mentioned that contract before. I just thought I was curious if...
I
don't think he's taking 4 for $68. But I told you Pro Football Focus had him at 4 for $72. I'm just trying to figure out. I think his contract lands. If he signs with the Chiefs, I think his contract lands slightly below what Frank Clark got. I think if he were on the open market, like he were a trade and sign player, like if the Chiefs end up letting him go to go to another team, then I would agree. I think that somebody is willing to give him that amount of money, and he should be more than willing to go get that amount of money if that's the way this thing has to go down. I could see it absolutely happening that way.
For perspective, Grady Jarrett, 4 years, $68 million. Frank Clark, obviously, 5 years, $105.5 million. So with $63.5 guaranteed. So there's that wide gap. Okay, somewhere in between that, what's it going to take? Somewhere in between that is what you would imagine. If not, maybe even more than that. Certainly more on the $105 million side.
Like, it's not Aaron Donald money, but yeah, it's probably closer to Frank Clark money. He's not a defensive end, but he is a pass rusher. The NFL knows that, and the Chiefs know that. And, you know, when you mentioned with him, too, just the speaking out on the CBA, they you know, because I wouldn't mind if a Chiefs player spoke. I like it. I like hearing what players think about, you know, giant proposals, especially in their business, right? I'm very interested in that version of it. But at the same time, you know, a lot of it depends on their position in the league. And so if you were going to say, who's in the best position, the answer would be Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu. Mahomes only been in the league a few years. He's currently negotiating a contract. Chris Jones is negotiating a contract. Watkins would never be that guy, so it's not him. Cole Kvitt's their PA rep.
He doesn't seem
like the type. It'd really just be those two players. Well, Tyrann Mathieu is someone I could see offering up an opinion on this, and I'd be curious just because it offers you some perspective on maybe which way the team goes.
And Therese mentioned Mahomes, even though he doesn't have the big contract yet, but everybody knows that's coming.
I mean, Mahomes, he's
a Super Bowl MVP. He's won a ring. He's been an MVP in the league already. He would have the cachet to do it. I'm not surprised none have. I think you have to consider where you are at and in certain markets, and you know your fan base. And I think you realize that you have to make that judgment on what you feel like the reaction would be if you went out and did that. Because there's a majority of fans, I would think, that are looking at the CBA stuff. They're like, hey, I just play football. I think there's a lot of people out there that when they hear CBA stuff going on, they're like, just whatever got to be done, just give me more football. And I think that's where a lot of people are at on this. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's where I think a lot of people are when it comes to this. And Aaron Rodgers, he might be in Green Bay, but he's been in this league for a long, long time. We know Russell Wilson's the caliber of player. He's also in Seattle. Richard Sherman's never been afraid to be outspoken. He's been in Seattle. He's been in the Bay Area now. And so you can go and Pouncey's what in Pittsburgh. So they're just different mentalities with it. I don't have an issue that none have spoken out. I'm not surprised. I'm just not surprised. I honestly, it's a big enough surprise now, right, that we have the biggest star in football in Kansas City. Like, that in its own right is something that it's taken a while to get to, right? Yeah. That literally the most marketable player in the National Football League resides in Kansas City. That's something I don't think any of us ever thought we'd be saying in its own right.
Let me know. Text line 69306, the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Do you want that? And this is speaking out against the collective bargaining agreement. I'm curious. Do you want Chiefs play? Do you want to know their opinion on the deal, or you just don't care?
What's the benefit?
Like, just
of
get it,
it
done.
What's the benefit of it?
I'm just a curious person. I like to know.
For that individual, like you're mentioning, maybe you'd like to hear from Mathieu. Like, you might love to hear from Matthew's point of view. What would be the benefit for him speaking out on it? Truly.
Oh, for him as a person?
Yeah. There's not really anything to gain directly, other than the thing to gain is swaying people in the way he wants to vote. None of these guys are swaying anybody. I don't think Pouncey going and cussing on this video. But that's what Rodgers is trying to do.
That's what Sherman's trying to do. The benefit for Tyrann Mathieu, if he were against the CBA, and again, I do not know, if he were pro or against, the benefit to speaking out is actually letting people know how you feel. Sartre, you probably made a pretty good point. And I think sometimes regionally where you are matters too, and what things you feel comfortable speaking out versus not speaking out against, because that, you know, where you play football does have a regional impact on that.
Yeah, Kansas City has, and I'm pretty much on the opposite end of this argument and always have been, but for the most part, Kansas City has always been they get paid millions of dollars, they should just shut up and play, as opposed to, you know, they're also not, we aren't putting ourselves in our daily careers, we aren't putting ourselves on the line physically and mentally the way those guys are.
I mean, I did today a little bit, right, with this combine. I feel like, my goodness, and I'm sore, and all I did is round a 40. Yikes.
Man, and honestly, I put the odds of the most person to get hurt is me, and somehow you fell.
Yeah.
I hurt my calf during the vertical.
How's it feeling now, though?
It's fine. It only hurt for a minute.
It's getting worse.
It'll probably be sore tomorrow.
Maybe that's what slowed you down. You're not an excuse maker, though, sir. That's what I appreciate about you. You'll get out there, and doesn't matter what your 40 time is. Your 40 time is your 40 time. Your calf didn't impact that. You're just slow today.
I was kind of hoping I would tear something. Workman's comp. We didn't sign any waivers.
We did not. That'll happen next year, I think, after the tumble this year. There'll be a waiver, I'm imagining, next year at the combine.
Like, get me to sign a waiver.
Then you won't participate.
Fine. Nah, I'll sign a waiver.
C-Dot just totally escaped the combine this year. He's just doing, I don't know, he's got his own private workout. Maybe C-Dot's going to have his own private workout.
He's saving it for pro day.
He's got his own private workout.
He's not working out of the combine this year. He's saving it for pro day. Did he take the Wunderlich even?
No, he didn't do anything, I don't think.
And we'll just judge him based on last year's Wunderlich score.
He could have still done the Wunderlich. He still could have at least done that.
Serta, would you like an average of your two Wunderlich scores to count for you, last year's and this year's?
No, I mean, it is what it is. I just put together a bad performance this year on the Wunderlich. I let myself down.
You went from fourth rounder to sixth, and we don't actually know the results yet. So
none of us, other than our bench press, have no idea how we performed in anything. Because even the vertical, they wouldn't tell us what we actually got on the vertical.
No. We'll find out here in just a minute.
Or the broad jump.
Next week, 11-10, combine results. So we'll have them every single day as we find out live with the rest of you exactly how we finished in each and every category.
Earlier on in the show, we had Whit Merrifield. We also had J.J. Boccolo join us on the show. And you'll hear our conversation with J.J. Boccolo again coming up at 1:30 here on Cody and Gold. And it may get a little bit tough for some of you to watch the Royals on television this year.
You can listen to them on the radio.
That's a good thing. You should be listening on 610 to begin with, right? And of course, tonight, Vern's Hot Stove at 6 o'clock. You'll have another chance at opening day tickets. And what, you got Khalil Lee on the show and Mike Montgomery tonight.
I'm really excited to hear from Khalil Lee. We talked about him with J.J. Piccolo, but yes. Anyway, please continue.
But it looks like it's going to be tougher for you if you are trying to watch on TV. And for some reason, you know, although you should have the TV and the radio on at the same time. But if you're trying to watch it on TV, for those of you that have YouTube TV, they are pulling the Fox Sports Regional Sports Network. So that would be FSKC, of course, among others across the country, depending on where you're located. And so for some of this... I don't know how many people in the numbers, how many people in Kansas City subscribe to, YouTube TV. I would love to know how many of you this is going to directly impact over on Smitty's Garage Burn Beer text line 69306. But like truly, Cody, I mean, like how many? I would love to know the exact number. I understand what you're saying, people's viewpoint, but I'm very curious deep down how many households in Kansas City is this directly impacting for you not being able to watch FSKC?
It's more than you think, man. YouTube TV, by the way, in case you didn't see. They've announced that they could not reach an agreement with Sinclair Broadcast Group and the owners of Fox Sports Regional Sports Network and the YES Network, and one of the largest owners of local TV stations in the U.S. So if you have been getting your cable, essentially, right? Not your cable, but if the streaming service of choice for you was YouTube TV, no Royals. And that's not just no Royals. They own a lot of the broadcast rights for baseball across the country. And I just told you the YES Network, what runs the Yankees, too. I don't know about you guys. I know a lot of people who use streaming services like YouTube TV or Hulu Live. And this is the kind of move that, again, hurts baseball because less eyes on the product in general, but also hurts, you know, a lot of people who have switched to this. I think a lot of this is just based on where we've gotten to streaming, where I don't feel like they've figured out the dichotomy between streaming and these regional sport network and what is the best possible way to make it. The sports network is still asking for a lot of money. YouTube TV is like, well, but we get this amount of money out of it, so we're looking for less. And it just kind of creates this conflict. Serta, you probably know I know plenty of people who use streaming services like YouTube TV, specifically watch the Royals game. I use a streaming service when I watch the Royals game.
That's all I've been out of market. TV. So that's how I've watched every Royals game over the last couple
of years. I don't use YouTube TV, but I do use others.
Yep.
I bounce around pretty much between all the streaming services just at my convenience to try them all out because I cut the cord on cable like 6 years ago. And so I've tried every streaming service. That is frustrating, but it's a problem with Fox and their larger entity because we've seen this happen with major cable providers as well. It's not just the streaming services. I mean, not necessarily, because it's a larger issue with them and it continues to be a problem. So I would assume that, hopefully that does change, but we'll find out.
As of now, it'll take effect February 29th, where those of you that have YouTube TV will not be able to watch Fox Regional Sports Networks, which impact, of course, FSKC. It doesn't mean by the opening day at home, at least is April 2nd, there's still a chance. Doesn't seem good right now, but there's still a chance things could get worked out at some point before the start. But it doesn't seem good, and we've got people texting in saying, oh, I just switched to YouTube TV last week. Oh, well, it's not going to work out too well for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple people. It's not, again, And obviously, you know, people from the 913, streaming sports live stinks because, again, you're behind. Someone saying, yeah, I switched back last week.
See, the behind
just switched
thing
back from
matter.
Another. And it's just, and obviously, you can listen to the game on 610 Sports Radio as much
like
as you want. So great.
A few seconds behind.
It's a, if Twitter didn't
it's
exist.
It's how most of us are watching it now.
Yeah, but are you, while you're watching games, you're spending every minute on Twitter too? Because I watch the games.
Yes, and that's the only reason why the delay even matters is for people that like to have their laptop pulled up with this, the Twitter stream like right there in front of them watching the games. And I've done that for some sporting events, of course. But that's the only reason why the delay matters. If you're willing to put your phone down and not have your laptop up on Twitter or something, or I've had to hide alerts on text because I've had to watch when I was at a market, even some of the Chiefs games, I was like 20 seconds behind. People are texting me. I know there was a huge play that happened, good or bad, whenever I would get a text. So I had to hide alerts on that so my phone wouldn't vibrate during it. So I understand the issue with the delay part of it. But yeah, this is an inconvenience for fans trying to watch any of the regional sports networks. And of course, here locally, it impacts the Royals.
There's plenty of people, by the way, the text line, the Smitty's Garage Brewing Beer text line, 69306. I told you, man. And I know that you want the exact numbers. A lot of people have cut the cord, especially people who are our age.
Yeah, YouTube TV is what I was getting.
I know, but YouTube TV is one of the larger streaming providers, I think, that people commonly use. You know, especially because what? PlayStation View just went away, didn't it?
Correct.
There were a lot of people who were on that, and that just went away. So now your options are down by one. They are Hulu Live. They are YouTube Live. These are the choices. Without subscribing individually to MLB.tv, and then again, you got the blackout issues. Depending on which part of the market you're in or which out or in of market you're in, you create those issues again. It's just so silly. I don't know. Obviously, you hope they can work out a deal, but still, I guess we'll
have to
wait
to find
out.
Yeah, that's the hope, so people aren't inconvenienced, obviously. But again, you can listen to all the Royals games during the regular season right here on 610 Sports Radio. It's amazing how that works.
Some spring training games over on our sister station.
That's right.
1660 The Score. They play today.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to a little trash of the day. Thinking of baseball, David Ortiz, he had an estate sale.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
An Why?
Estate sale. Yeah, he's getting rid of some items, remove some clutter, right?
But he's rich. Why don't you just...
Well, you still got clutter. You still don't want to hold on to everything.
Donate it.
Hundreds of items from his personal collection are up for grabs this Saturday. A dream for baseball enthusiasts, maybe. One-of-a-kind memorabilia. Here's like a collection of signed All-Star hats, for example. But then there's one item that just stood out for a lot of people. He's... It's an old printer, like an old inkjet printer. How much do you think someone's going to pay because it's David Ortiz? Like, that printer should be free or $5 or $2 because it's in David Ortiz's house. I wonder how much that old, it's just an old HP inkjet printer.
I'm looking at the photos. Why does everything look like he just went to go get it at, like, Home Goods? There's a rug with asparagus on it. Can we buy this for the show?
The rug?
Will Spec give us the money to buy the David
There's
Ortiz?
There's a rooster rug, too.
Asparagus rug for the show? It'd be a nice addition to the studio. Like where my feet are, a
He's
little extra cushion.
An unopened portable charcoal grill. Like what? Just random stuff he bought or got gifted.
Just buy it and submit it with your expense reports from Miami.
A frog playing a guitar.
Cuddy, what did you need this for? Hey man, this was a house with a lot of people in it. I slept on the rug. Don't worry about it. Oh man, it just looks like a lot of like kitschy home goods stuff. There is some actual baseball stuff.
Yeah, there's some signed frame jerseys and things like that. But the printer, the frog sculpture playing a guitar.
I don't mean to be insensitive, but aren't estate sales usually for when someone dies? Didn't just everybody else just put this stuff on like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or something?
I don't think you're wrong on that. I would assume that happens a lot more. If someone's family member that owns a house and has a bunch of stuff and they kind of do
yeah,
a full on
it. Yeah,
I think
that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's probably the more common, but I think if you're rich, it's also something effective.
Is it an estate sale if you're rich? Is that it?
Well,
because
no,
it'd be
I
a
mean,
garage sale. Serta was trying to sell his asparagus rug.
No,
it's definitely a garage sale.
I think meaning that people that are alive, if they're like, it's something that you wouldn't, like you and sure. I would probably not have an estate. You're right. It would be a garage sale. You'd have your inkjet printer on the floor of your garage selling it for $2 right now is what it would be.
Never had a garage sale. I've lived in my house for 10 years. I've never had a garage sale.
Sounds like it's about time.
I have a whole bunch of stuff.
It's about time for you. The Cody Tapp garage sale.
How about we just do that on the
what
show
would be
instead?
The best
and
item
you
I could
just
get.
Win things from my house that I clearly don't use anymore. The garage sale?
What's the best item I can get out of that?
I mean, I've definitely got some like furniture. I don't know if you need some of that, but I definitely have some of that.
I'm moving tomorrow. I'm flying to Houston to pick up furniture.
You need a lantern? That's in the basement.
A lantern. No, I don't need a lantern.
A white gas powered lantern.
Do you have shelves?
I have beer making equipment. And I do not have the time to make beer the way I used to, so that might really actually be the one for you.
All right, we'll ask Lennon Jennings about this, because he's going to join us in studio. Lennon Jennings, Channel 9 Sports Director, stops by as we continue. It's Cody and Gold on 610.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.